Well, it's hard to believe, and I say this every time, but this is the end of the year. It's the last Ask the Mayor of 2017. We'll start again next year, 2018, with Columbus Mayor Jim Linup. But as always, we end the month in Kokomo with Mayor Greg Goodnight. Thank you so much for having us.
It's always our pleasure, and thanks for following Kokomo this last year and the previous years as well.
So you might be hearing a little bit of noise in the background. We're not at City Hall, for those who are listening just on the podcast. Tell us a little bit about where we're at. We have a surprise for our listeners.
We are in a 100-year-old executive coach train car that is being pulled by the Indiana Transportation Museum. And we have this is the first year we've done this in Howard County, and this is the Polar Bear Express. They have done this down in Hamilton County the last few years, and this year they moved it to Kokomo, and the train runs three nights a week. They take three excursions each night, and this is a Christmas train ride, and the cars are decked out with Christmas decorations. They have hot chocolate and cookies and Santa's on the train, and they take a train ride up about halfway between here and Logansport. So it's about an hour and a half round trip train ride. Families take it, and so we thought we would just do the filming here, and we appreciate you accommodating us.
Is this a long-standing tradition?
This was the first year we've done it in Kokomo, They've been doing it for a few years down in Hamilton County, and I think they've labeled this successful this year, so I think this could be an annual event up here.
Very nice.
It started in about mid-November, and it's going to run here through Christmas.
So. Oh, okay. And this really has a feel of history when you walk in, too, doesn't it?
It does. It's very... very well maintained, about 100 years old, this car, and a lot of interesting features, especially if you walked back and looked at the private cars and the kitchen area and things.
So not far from here, I understand, you recently stumbled upon what may be the oldest home in Kokomo. You're going to tear it down, but I don't think that's happening now, is it?
It is not. What happened, we did a north side trail extension this year. Extended the Industrial Heritage Trail that runs from the south side of Kokomo into the downtown, and we did about an 8 or 9 block extension. We had one home that was facing the new trail, or more of kind of faced a piece of the road that we were going to either have to work with the homeowner to make it a mixed-use trail, or if we wanted it to be specifically for pedestrians and bicyclists, we were going to have to acquire it. So we worked with the homeowner, acquired the property. They've since took the money and bought a home in another part of Kokomo, and we were going to tear it down. And once we started peeling off the siding, we realized the home had some historic, what we believe to be some historic features. So we contacted John Russell, local historian, and who's well known in the arts community for rehabilitation of historic wood carvings and things. And he analyzed the property, started doing some research, and we think it was built sometime around 1860. So we are going to stabilize it before winter gets here, make sure it's secure. We don't really have a plan yet, other than we're going to keep it as some sort of a feature, probably put a historical marker and make sure that it is preserved. We do believe now this may be the oldest home in Howard County.
What kind of shape is the house in?
It's probably seen better days, and it's had some modifications to it, but for the most part, he was almost shocked at how much of the original flooring and some of the walls were still intact, and even the plaster, the way the plaster used horsehair in it, he was able to tell some of the reference the timing of when that plaster was put on. So yeah.
So something we'll have to continue to follow up on when we're here
next
year.
It's kind of a nice surprise for us.
Yeah. And we talked a lot of this past year about diversifying housing options, bringing on more dense developments. Has there been any talk about traffic, parking, problems that might arise from this extra population? I'm just driving in today. I mean, every time I come in, I see more and more progress on these housing developments.
We're really working on more of an urban dense population, you know, kind of infilling on some of these, especially in the downtown area, but in other parts of the city as well, and really trying to work on the walkability and the pedestrian-friendly aspects of those housing projects. You know, traffic and parking, I always tell people those are the last things, you know, that's the last box we're going to check off. And we'll deal with that. I always tell people I would rather deal with parking problems than where there's no activity and no vitality with an area. So we haven't experienced that yet. And like I say, if we do our job right and do these projects in the right areas on the right streets, I think the traffic problems will never come to fruition. That people will get out and walk more, and we will make sure that there are amenities in close proximity so that they to encourage them to walk and bicycle more.
It's interesting. Last week we just spoke with Mayor John Hamilton from Bloomington, where they're struggling more with the density and height of buildings downtown. Do you struggle with that here too?
Our tallest, we have a couple of buildings that are
In terms of regulating them.
No, we haven't. Developers. No, yeah. we haven't gotten to that stage yet. Bloomington, because of the high student population, is probably a few years ahead of us in some of those with some of those things that they're having to address now. Most of the developers we've been dealing with are looking for that 3, 4, 5 story building, so we haven't had to say yes or no to an 8 or 9 story building. We do have a couple buildings that are 7 stories, but those were built years ago. But I, you know, those things have to be. I completely sympathize with the mayor. You know, you have to really make sure that the decisions you make, they're going to be, you know, it's going to last for decades, and we need, you know, you need to make sure you do that right. So this is just not a problem we've had to address yet.
Mm-hmm. Just this past month, Monroe County, Bloomington enacted a 1% food and beverage tax to fund half of a $78 million convention center and a hotel, Terre Haute, and Indiana State dissolved a agreement that they were going to put together some type of renovation for a convention center. We saw Columbus, Indiana, where they lost their convention center space, although they have the common space, which kind of works with that. And it's been a while. I think July or June, I had to look back in our show to see when the last time we talked about a convention center here in Kokomo. Has anything new coming up on that?
Yes. And if you remember, it goes back further than that. I think it was about 4 years ago. We had a study done on the availability of hotel rooms, the need for convention space in this part of the state. A couple things came out of that study. One of them, that the at least from 4 years ago, the population center for the state of Indiana was in Howard County, and which makes sense when you think of Indianapolis being the geographical center, that there's some more people live north, so it puts us in a good location. And so yes, we've been doing our due diligence, talking to potential developers, looking at some of the potential sites, kind of narrowed it down to a specific location, and we're doing some preliminary drawings on what that could or may look like. And so we really hope that we have some finality to that very soon, and hopefully within the next maybe 3 to 5 weeks we have an announcement that we'll be able to share with the public. We just have a few more things we have to make sure. I wouldn't say it's 100% done. I'd say it's we're now to the 97%. I'm 97% sure, but so we feel pretty good about it.
And I know a year ago there was a proposal for a 3% addition to the innkeeper's tax that didn't see the light of day. Are you going to try that again this coming year?
We don't have the ability locally at this point. We have to have the legislature approve our ability to raise that. And we just had a discussion yesterday with our Greater Kokomo Economic Development Alliance, and I had a discussion with our state representative, Mike Karakoff, on Sunday. I think he is going to resubmit the bill, and I think the support from the different community entities, county council, county commissioners, our administration, city council, the Convention and Visitors Bureau Board, all those groups are still supporting that proposal. So I think it's going to be proposed. Obviously, we'll just have to watch the legislature. They're in a short session this year, so things will rise to the priority level, you know, to the top of that much more quickly this year than they do in a longer session. So we'll see what happens with that.
Does that make or break what you might need for a convention center?
No, we have funding. No, it would help. Okay. We have put together a proposal and a plan that utilizes existing city, county tax dollars, and you know, the Convention and Visitors Bureau has done a great job over the last few years of really being very selective in what they sponsor and what they don't. So they've been able to build up a pretty large cash reserve, which will really help make this feasible. So we have a plan together. The financial plan works. It will make it tight and lean for a couple of years, but we can make this work.
Another issue here in Kokomo, I'm not sure how much you can talk about it, but I do want to ask about the Kokomo Fire Union and the city talking about court contracts, bargaining. I've read about it. It's complicated.
It is a little complicated.
I don't know if there's a way you can put that into a very simple term for people to understand what's going on. You know?
Well, we have the city of Kokomo, and I have to be very careful what I talk about because it is now into the court systems. We have labor agreements with the Fraternal Order of Police, the American Federation of State, City, and Municipal Employees, and we also have with the Professional Firefighters Union. And this year we had two contracts up, both with the police officers and with the firefighters. The police officers was settled pretty early. I don't remember when, maybe July. This one's kind of lingered. And it just has been a little more difficult to reach an agreement on both sides. And so, we're in the process. We're having a dispute, and it may have to be resolved in the court system. And they've asked for judicial relief. We feel like it's just really not to, it's not to their point, to a point where they should be involved in it. So we'll see what happens with it.
And is this mainly just over where the city and different townships are covering?
No. This is just an agreement with the. This is just the labor agreement on the wages and benefits and things like that with the firefighters themselves. And then we had another issue with. For years, the city of Kokomo has covered the unincorporated areas of Center Township. The city bleeds into a few other townships, Harrison and Taylor and parts of Howard and Clay, but the issue was the unincorporated areas of Center Township. We have always provided fire protection, but really we have provided at a substantially reduced cost. And we've over the years tried to get that so that they were paying a fair share for that for those professional firefighters. And I don't see us reaching that agreement, and I think that's fine. That's a decision they're going to have to make at the trustee's office. My argument is I can't just keep giving away city services to people. That's not fair to our city taxpayers, that they pay the higher amount, and people that don't live in the city pay a lower amount. So that probably, unless something else happens in the next week or so, that's probably gonna go to the side.
But that's separate from
that's completely
what's
separate
going
issues.
On.
Yeah, yeah. One is just the fire service agreement.
Right.
One's the negotiations with the firefighters themselves.
Did something happen yesterday or this week in terms of coming to an agreement, or is that still
with the firefighters?
Yeah.
Or with the trustee's office?
With the firefighters.
No. They had a court date the other day, and we've not gotten
there's
a
been
ruling.
Yep. Nothing
yep.
new.
The hearing, I think.
I'm just trying to think if anything new has happened.
No, nothing new.
Okay.
Yeah.
As we go into the coming year, I know you've been very active. You once the president of the Indiana Association of Small Towns and Cities and so forth. What should cities in Indiana be thinking about this next year, 2018, you know?
Well, if you look at changes that are taking place across not just the state of Indiana, but across the country, you know, people are moving to metropolitan areas. People are moving to cities. Now, we have been for a couple of hundred years. You know, we used to, 200 years ago, majority of us were farmers and we have slowly moved in that direction. That has really accelerated in the last 10 years, and people are moving at a much faster rate to larger cities. So, as I look across the state and talk to other mayors, If you look at the population changes in our 92 counties, you have about a dozen that are growing at a pretty good rate. You have about another dozen that are growing, but probably at a slower rate than the national and state averages. And then you have a handful, five, maybe six, seven, that are kind of stagnant. And that means two-thirds of our counties are losing populations under what most people would consider relatively good economic time. So I think this is, you know, for those that are, if you're still losing large amounts of population right now under these financial times, I think we really need to be, not just mayors, but our state government should be looking at ways to how we're going to address this. Because I don't think as people move to larger cities that have more amenities, and it's going to get even harder to entice people to move back to the small towns that are maybe somewhat disconnected from major metropolitan areas. So there's some challenges ahead for not just the cities themselves, but our state that has to oversee those. You know, when you have two-thirds of your counties losing population, someone at the state should be paying attention to this.
Before we go, it is our last show of 2017. Can you take a quick look back of Kokomo in 2017? Maybe kind of, you know, define three moments that kind of helped shape the city this year?
I hadn't really thought about it too much. I joke around that I spend more time trying to look forward. I don't have too much time to look back. But, you know, we've had... We've done some pretty big projects this year. If you went out a little bit to the west part of town, we put in a solar park early in the year. We just did some road enhancements out there, built a new roundabout, transformed Markland Avenue and the Park Avenue area. My daughter is on one of the school teams, and they were coming back the other night. This was a quick, just how different it looks. And when they were coming back on the bus, one of the girls she was riding with said, wait a minute, I thought we were in Kokomo. And she hadn't been to that part of town, and noticed how much it changed. So I think some of those things have really, really helped. Just what we're doing working on our connectivity, and I don't know if there's one specific project for that. It is really trying to, eliminate those barriers, those wide roads that separate us from each other, and really work on the connectivity and the trails and the pedestrian friendly aspect. I'd say those are probably the some big things. The other part is I feel like we are well on our way from recovering from the tornado that came through in August 2016. We've made a lot of headway in Highland Park and some of those neighborhoods, and if you went through some of the individual neighborhoods, you'd see the rebuilding process has maybe not 100% complete, but has really moved along pretty quickly.